This morning we want to look in Daniel chapter 3, and there's a lot that can be covered in this particular chapter. There's a lot of things that's going on. You know, we've titled the message The Fiery Furnace, but you know, there's a lot of different titles that we could have shared. We could call this The Fiery Trial. We could call this Faith Can't Be Burned, and then we could also call it Faith on Trial. And so ultimately, all those titles and many others, you could probably think of some yourself, but there's many others that could be titled as far as this passage of Scripture, but we've just simply kept it simple, and we're calling it The Fiery Furnace. And so I want to begin reading with verse 17, and we're going to kind of take up right in the middle of what is happening. And so we're going to share with you a story, a passage that you probably learned as a child growing up, or at least that's when I learned about the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But let's take up reading in verse 17. It says, "If it be so, our God." Now, this was when their faith was challenged, just like the song that the lady sang. This was when their faith was challenged. And they were given another opportunity to bow down to this image. They were given another opportunity. And so verse 17 says, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." But notice the possibility that they recognize and that they understand. It's found in verse 18. "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it that it wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men. And I, you know, something that came to my thought as I was reading this and studying this passage, that he sent his best. Nebuchadnezzar sent his best, and look what happens. "And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to go and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosens, and their hats, and in the midst of the burning the fiery furnace. Therefore became the king commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeded hot. The flames and the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." So in other words, the king's mighty men, those that he thought was the best of the best, could not withstand the fire. Something to think about. Our best cannot withstand the fire, and therefore we need the Lord. Amen. We need the Lord. "And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning the fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loosed." Remember, they went in bound and they burn up. They were trying to burn up everything. And it says, "Four men loosed, walking in the midst of the fire, and they had no hurt, and the form of the fourth was like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High, come forth, come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth in the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's councils, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose the bodies the fire had no power, nor was the hair on their head singed, neither were their clothes charged, nor the smell of fire had passed on them." You know, I think of this passage of Scripture, and we'll end our reading, but we'll refer to several verses. But I think of this passage, and, you know, this passage is more than a childhood Sunday school lesson. This passage has got something for us today that can help us, and that can encourage us, and that can help us to understand how faith is important. But it'll also help us to realize the glory that we need to give the Lord in the midst of the fire that we go through. So let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you for what our hearts have already felt. We thank you for your goodness and your grace, your mercy. Lord, we realize that we're living in very difficult and very trying days. And Lord, we don't know what the future is going to hold, but we're so grateful that we know the end. We're so grateful that we can trust you. We're so grateful that we can call upon you. We're so grateful even in the times of difficulties and tragedies, you're still willing to save. You're still willing to change lives. And for that, we're grateful. Help us, Lord, in the days ahead. Help us to realize how important our testimony is. Help us to realize how important you are. And help us to realize how important that salvation is for each and every person. Help us, Lord, to be that witness that you would have us to be. And Lord, we ask your help this morning, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a passage of Scripture found in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 24, verse 15. It says, "Wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles of the sea." You know, many of us will never face what these three Hebrews faced. Many of us will never face with realization that the fire is so hot that you can be burned. And this was a literal fire that was created, that was orchestrated, that was put there. And because these three would not bow to the image, would not bow to this king, they were seeming to be going to be destroyed. There are things and there are times that we're going to need to stand our ground when it comes to our faith, when it comes to what we know the Bible teaches. And so we may be asked to go through a fiery trial. We may be asked to go through a situation that we wonder if we can ever get out of. The testimony of these three individuals, they said that God had the ability, and I'm paraphrasing verses 17 and 18, but they pretty much said, "We know God's got the ability to deliver us, but yet if not, we're still not going to worship this golden image. We're still not going to worship these false gods. We're not going to worship something that isn't true." And they made that stand and they made that determination. And we see the downhill spiral that our country, that our nation, and not only country and nation, but individuals themselves. We see the downhill spiral, the things that sin that is compromised. Things is no longer called sin anymore. It's called the way of life, or it's called equal rights, and it's called all kinds of different things that you can put there. But if the Bible calls it sin, it's sin. Amen. There's no gray area. There's no, well, it's not sin this time, but it can be sin next time. Or there's no gray area when it comes to the realization that just because people change doesn't mean that God has changed, and the understanding. And so we think of this fiery furnace, and we look at the condition of our world, and we look at the growing concerns that's taking place, and we see it getting worse every day. We see it getting worse every day. And these days that we are living in are very critical. They're very critical for our testimony, and they're very critical that believers make a stand. Very critical. And so don't be surprised when the fires of Satan, when you make a stand, don't be surprised when the fires of Satan and the world's hatred for what we believe and what we believe the Bible teaches even gets stronger. Don't be surprised. And we can look and we can talk about this and we can talk about that and we can talk about all these changes, but if we kind of shave back all these things and get to the root of it, I believe the root of it is that they don't believe God. And they don't believe in what God is, and they don't believe who God is, and they don't believe what the Bible teaches, and they say, we're just going to do what we want. Well, that's kind of what was happening here in this passage. You see, many parts of the world, people are living in the fires today. If we took time to read and understood some of our missionaries and some of the things that is going on the mission field, we can see a lot of turmoil. But you know, if you look around, we can see that same turmoil even in the America that we live in. Every day there's a temptation to defy the Lord in some way, shape, or form. Every day. Every day there's a challenge and there's a temptation or there's a decree that is set out to defy the Lord. And so this morning we can find help and we can find encouragement as we look at these three individuals and we focus on these three brave men. There's three things that I think about when I think of these three Hebrew children. And that is one. They honored the Lord by their faith. They honored the Lord by their faith. Number two is they trusted the Lord in the times of trials. They trusted the Lord in times of trials. And number three, God delivered them. God delivered them. So if we don't get anything else this morning, I hope we get those three things, that they honored the Lord with their faith, that they trusted the Lord during trials, and God delivered them. And so during these days, we see faith will be challenged. Faith will be challenged. In verses 1 through 6, there's a decree or there's a challenge set forth. And so, and we won't take time to read the whole things, but it says, verse 4, that when there was a cry that was allowed, to you it is commanded of the people and nation and languages. In other words, all these people, that what time ye hear the sounds of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whosoever falleth not down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. And so there's faith that's challenged. An image was built to be worshiped. And everyone was commanded that was present, and that when they heard these things, that they were to bow down and they was to worship this this golden image that the king had set up. And if they didn't, there would be a penalty that was imposed on anyone who refused to worship this image. There was a penalty. And there were three that said no. There were three individuals that said no, when we know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refused. And not only did they refuse to worship this golden image, but there's something else in that refusal. That there's something else that it can teach us this morning. First of all, don't follow the crowds. Don't follow the crowds. A lot of times it's real convenient to just go along with the group. But you see, there were people all around them that were afraid of the fire. They were afraid of the furnace. They were afraid of the result. And they were afraid of the possibilities. And so there were probably many, and we don't know this, but speculation in my mind says there's probably some that probably didn't want to do it, but they chose to do it. They probably didn't want to bow down, but because there was a decree, they decided, well, I don't want to be thrown in the fire, so therefore I'm going to bow. So the first lesson that we can learn from them is don't follow the crowd. Don't follow the crowd. The next lesson we can learn is pretty simple, and that is turn to God. Turn to God. That's what they did. When they said no to this golden image, they was putting their faith in the Lord. And they knew the possibilities. They knew the possibility that they would get thrown in the fire. That's, we read to you that in verses 17 and 18. So they knew the possibilities, but the possibilities and the faith in God was much stronger than the possibilities of getting burned in the fire. You see, they turned to God. So they didn't follow the crowd and they turned to God. And then they chose to make a stand against evil. They chose. That's a choice. That's a choice to make a stand against evil. We see the things that's taking place in the world, and we could list them off, and you live in the same world I do, so you know what I know. But you know, it's time for us as believers to make a stand. It's to make a stand against the evil instead of just accepting it. Making a stand. And so they chose to stand against evil. You say, well, what can one or two people do? Well, they can do far more, and we're going to get to that in just a few moments, but they can do far more than what you think, because there's a fourth man. You see, that's the difference. There's a fourth one in the fire. So they chose to make a stand, and they were found faithful at all cost. They were found faithful at all cost. So our faith will be challenged. Faith will be challenged to just give in. Faith will be challenged. And you see their attitude in verses 16 and 17. They knew God could deliver them. They never had that question in His ability. They never had the question of Him performing this miracle. But they also knew that the possibility would be death. And they knew what they had in the Lord was worth more than life itself. What they had in the Lord was worth more than life itself. But the end would be the same. The end would be their faith was challenged and they stood the test. They stood the test. No matter what the future might be in our life, or no matter what the future might hold in our life, we must have that faith and determination as these three Hebrews. We must have that faith and that determination, because our faith will be challenged. Our faith will be challenged. Number two, there's a temptation to compromise. There's a temptation to compromise. The temptation is found in verses 8 through 18. And we won't take time to read it this morning, but let me just kind of give you a summary. And that is this. The Chaldeans reported to the king that Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego had not obeyed the command, which is found in verses 12. So they were, in other words, they were told on. Do you realize that others are watching everything that we do? Others are watching everything that we do. Some are going to be encouraged by us, and others are going to be furious. But either way, we are being watched. So therefore, there is a temptation, and there's a tempted, that we are tempted to compromise. We are tempted to compromise. There was a time in their life that their faith was more important than what others think, than what others thought. You see, these three Hebrews stood for their faith in the Lord, and they were more concerned about disappointing the Lord and doing what was wrong than what others thought. You see, their faith was between them and God. It didn't have anything to do with anybody else, but their faith was between them and God. No matter if if this worship of this golden image, no matter whether it was done in public or no matter whether it was done in secret, they decided to say no. They decided because they had another opportunity. They had another opportunity when Nebuchadnezzar went to them and gave them another opportunity, but they said no. Actually, verses 17 and 18 was their reply from the king giving them another opportunity. So there's temptation to compromise. Their answer was summarized in those verses in 17 and 18. They refused to save their lives at the cost of compromise. They refused to save their own lives at the cost of compromise. Do you realize that every generation and every generation to come will be tempted to compromise? They'll be tempted to compromise. We can go back and we can look at our forefathers and we can look at different individuals that stand out in the books that we read and so on. But look back at your own, possibly look back at your own family. Look back at some of your heritage and some of your family trees, and you will probably find someone that was tempted to compromise. You know, compromise, the temptation of compromise, I don't believe will ever stop. I believe it will continue until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. I believe it's going to be something that we have to stand our ground and we have to have the faith that these three Hebrews did to overcome. But number three this morning, and that is this, we're not alone. We're not alone. Verses 24 through 27 tells us that there was a fourth man in the fire. They were in the fire, but not alone. The Lord was with them. The fire could not touch them, no matter how hot it got. That's why I brought out the fact that these of Nebuchadnezzar's in his army, it was the best of the best, and fire consumed them. But you take three Hebrew children, or three of these Hebrews here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you take these three, and not a hair was singed. Not a piece of clothes was burned. And I say, thank God that they weren't alone. Thank God that they were not alone. The king's best were destroyed, but the three was in the fire, and a fourth man came. The verse that comes to my mind in Psalm 23, verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. You know, I believe in that fire that they were able to get up and find comfort. I noticed that when I was reading and studying this for this message, that it says they were thrown into the fire. Well, very few people, when you get thrown and you're bound up, very few people are you thrown up standing. You're usually on the ground. But the other thing that I noticed, that they were standing. And that's what the Lord will help us with. The Lord will help us stand. He will help us stand because we're not alone. He'll help us stand. And then lastly this morning, and this is where I said everyone is watching. Everyone is watching. There's others that were blessed by this. There's others that were blessed. In verses 28 and following, the Bible says, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had sent his angel and delivered his servant that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut up in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there's no other God that can deliver after this sort. And then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the providence of Babylon. You see, others are going to be blessed by our faith. What a testimony by a pagan king. What a testimony. What would have happened if they would have compromised? What would have happened if they would have bowed to this image? What would have happened if they would have been part of the crowd? What would have happened? Well, they might have kept living because the decree was that if they bowed, then everything would be all right. They might have been living, but would they have truly been living? Something to think about. They might have been living as far as bodily, but would they have truly been living? No doubt it would have been totally different. But I thank the Lord this morning that we can look at their testimony and we can see faith being tested, compromise being tested, but they chose God. They chose God. In the days ahead, no matter what changes we'll be faced with in this life, our faith will be challenged. Temptation will be to compromise. But remember, we're not alone, and others will be blessed. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for what a tremendous passage of Scripture that we just scratched the surface on. Lord, we realize that we see a mighty faith of three individuals. But Lord, you know the world that we live in today. You know the challenges that we face. You know what our future is going to be. And although there's going to be discouragements and there's going to be some things in life that trouble us and there's going to be some difficult days, we know that if our faith and our trust is in you, and that we don't allow compromise to even be entered into our life, even though the temptation will be there, we know that we'll come out the victor because there's a fourth man in the fire. We know we have help this morning. Help us, Lord, to live a life that you would be pleased with. And there may be someone here this morning that's struggling. There may be someone here that maybe has started down a path that they're struggling with. Lord, help them to come and realize that help is there. There may be someone here that's never been saved, that's watching this morning, that's never accepted Christ as our personal Savior. That's when change begins, is knowing Jesus Christ and the finished work on Calvary. But Father, whatever the need may be, Lord, I pray that you'll bless this invitation. And Lord, I pray that no one will leave this place this morning that has unfinished business with you. We thank you, Lord, for the testimony, and help us to have that same testimony in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number do you have for us this morning?
276.